Rabbi said, we're going to start the Masechta now. We're going to integrate the Hagdoma that we had last week to the Tras Chol Sasugi here. So we'll go through the Mishnah. Hakol Marichim V'Nerochim Noidrim V'Nidorim. So as we explained, there are two Gdorim of Hischaivus that a person can be Mechaiv themselves to Hekdesh. One is in the process of a Neder, and one is in the process of Erech. On elementary level, until you learn the Masechta, the distinction between the two ways to learn is that really they're both the same, that you as an individual obligating yourself to give Hekdesh a certain value, and there are two ways for that value to be given to Hekdesh. Either you could say domi olai or dom of olai, in which case every individual is assessed separately based on what they're worth. And then there's a flat rate assessment. Say erki olai, but it's erkoi olai, erch ploni olai. So simply learning, these two categories are not so far from each other. They're quite similar. It's just the way we assess it. Just like Bava Kama is full of assessments of how we assess different things. You don't always assess something based on the realistic value. Somebody causes a damage in somebody's field. You don't necessarily pay the exact value that you caused, the damage, the assessed value of the damage you caused. Instead, you make what we call a shuma. Shuma means we make an evaluation of the field, what it was worth before and what it's worth now. And more often than not, that evaluation will not reflect the actual damages. But that's the way Bava Kama works. There's Reb Chaim, Chaim Brisk, he's Mechadish, that anytime you could fix something, then we don't make assessments. In other words, somebody, according to Reb Chaim, somebody goes ahead and breaks a window in an apartment building, so then we don't make an assessment. Technically, there'd be no damages, right? You go to an apartment building that's worth $10 million, right? And you break a window, okay? So what's it worth now? Right, the $10 million, so nothing changed. The fact is that if the repair may be $5,000, but it doesn't create a metzias of a different shuma. So this is not a Reb Chaim's chiddush is that shuma is only used when the original thing can't be brought back. In other words, I ate an aruga in your field. I can't bring the aruga back. Okay? I mean, you could plant it and this and that, but I'm saying that I can't go ahead and transplant what was taken away. So then there's a concept of shuma. So this is a big dispute in the Achronim, how to paskin, and it has tremendous ramifications in halacha. So the same thing, erechin, you could learn, is just a way of assessing. However, last week we developed a svara, which we felt is really according to everybody, even though it seems to be just an isolated view of the Chazon Ish and the Shulta Kiboyerim, but we really concluded that everybody agrees that erechin works differently than domim completely. Erechin works as pidyon. When you go ahead and you make an erechin of somebody else or yourself, what you do then is redeem it back. You redeem back the erech, just like somebody redeems a pidyon aben. He's not redeeming his son based on an assessment of 5 shloim, that his son is worth 5 shloim. Although the kohen tells the father, what do you want more, 5 shloim or your son? But the fact is that the 5 shloim is not a replacement value of the b'chol. It's a shear of redemption. It's an act of redemption. And that's what the 5 shloim represent. And erechin works in that vein. Erechin, whether you learn to the extreme that we brought an extreme opinion that holds that when you say erki alai, it's like you're giving yourself the hekdish, and then you're redeeming yourself back. And that, we said, is not accepted universally, but that is, there is such a shita. even if you don't learn to that extreme, it's still a geder of redemption. And to that we brought many proofs. As we go through the Masechta, we'll see this more and more, that it's a geder of redemption. So there's really a totally different approach when you say domi a lie or dom of a lie. Then you're going ahead to give a value to Hekdesh. And when you say erech, you're not giving a value to Hekdesh. What you're doing actually is creating a necessity to create a redemption. You're almost accepting upon yourself, if you have a bechor, if you have a firstborn boy from a petarechem, from a woman, you have a chiyuv to redeem that bechor. When you make an erech, it's a self-inflicted chiyuv pidyon. And either you could be the subject of that pidyon, somebody else could be the subject of that pidyon, but it's all based on the concept of redeeming. That's the difference between Nedorim and Erechim. And now the Mishnah lists Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim are included in this. Noshim, Vavodim, Tumtum, Vandroigenes. Avodim are included in this. Tumtum and Androgynous. Now these examples are really difficult. Each one is analyzed separately. Avodim, some of the Rishonim have a shaila, how much do you pay for an Eved? And that really seems to be a plea. How much do you pay for an Eved? What do you mean? If he's a Zohar, you pay an Erech Zohar. If he's an Akeva, you pay an Erech Akeva. But if you take a look at Tosfos doesn't seem to be that it's so poshut. Tosfos says that the Eved, these are the last three lines of Tosfos, Noshim, Vavodim. Tosfos says, Ve'eved, Afal Gav, the Gabi Mitzvahs, Yesh Loi Din Isha, even though regarding Mitzvahs, the Eved has a din of an Isha, Lefi Erech Zohar Hu Nerach. However, when we assess him according to a Zohar. What does Tosfos want? Of course. What's Afal mean? He's not in a cave. What are you going to, you're going to assess him like in a cave? So the whole thing is the chapela. Later on, the Fehamid Beis is a machloikis tanoim if a goy has an erechim. Now, if you marach a goy, do you need to have a posuk that you marach him like a zohar? Of course not, he's a zohar. What do you want? Tosfos says, to lo yishtamit tana. This is a strange idea of Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't seem to say it's a svar. Tosfos seems to say, you know what, logically, I would say maybe as an erech of a isha, but I haven't seen any tana that should say that. There's no such. We don't find an erech in that there should be a tana should say that if you go to an eved zocho, and you say that his erech should be on me, that we should assess it like in a cave. So the whole thing is a plea. It's a shaychus. And actually, Reb David Salvechik, Zozan Gesund, brings down a similar shaila from his father by Tumtum. See, Tumtum also is a strange situation, because Tumtum, when we talk about a Tumtum, so Tumtum is very different than an androgynous. An androgynous is a separate species. Okay? An androgynous is a barrier. An androgynous has simonim of a zoch, simonim of a cave, the barrier. So we understand that when you make an erech of an androgynous, so it's obvious it's, we can't assess that. Not only we can't assess it, there is no assessment. He's a barrier. The Torah didn't talk about it. An androgynous. The Torah spoke about a zoch. The Torah spoke about a cave. Never spoke about an androgynous. However, when we talk about a tumtum, this is really a plea, because a tumtum is really either a zohar or an akeda. We just don't know what he is. It is. So if we don't know what it is, why should you be exempt completely? And actually, there is a mandama that says that a tumtum is also something else. And that opinion needs a lot of looking into. definitely not simple. But there is such an opinion that a tumtum is like a barrier too. And I'll just tell you off the cuff, what's the pshat in that shita, is that part of the definition of a zohar and a nekeva is the fact that there are simonim that are visible. So in other words, when somebody becomes a tumtum shenikra, if you have a tumtum now that becomes uncovered and we see he's a zohar, he turns into a zohar. It's not that now we know that he always was. Part of being a zohar is having the simonim available. Having the simonim available. And until those simonim come to the avir ha'ilam, till we see those simonim, he's lacking in the shem zohar. And that shouldn't be such a, it sounds like a tremendous chiddush. It shouldn't be such a tremendous chiddush because we find that concept where a simon can actually create, a simon can create a situation. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, in his Sefer Kevet Shurim and Psachim, has this question about simonim of a gadol. When a person turns 13, they also need simonim. He has a shaila, if those hairs that reflect godless, do they create godless? Or are they just proof that he's godless? And he says he wants to go through a shaila based on the sugya and Bava Basra that those of you learning daf just had. If you have Eidim being made on one here, and another two Eidim being made on another here, so it's considered a chatzi dova, it's like a half a thing. He says, if it would just be a simon, if it would just be proof, but not the actual element of godless, then there wouldn't be a problem of chatzi dova. It would be like a chazoke, that you could have two Eidim saying Eidus on one year that you ate the field, two Eidim saying Eidus on another year. Rebbe Chanan there in Pesachim goes to say an unbelievable chiddush, the same thing by the Kechovim. If we hold you need three stars to create Lila, he says, is that a simon that it's Lila, or is that a creation of Lila? And he goes on then to say that maybe there would be a chilik in halach if you could have two Eidim saying Eidus about one star and another two Eidim saying Eidus about the other stars. That's how far he goes. So it isn't a foreign concept that you could say that there's a simon that becomes a siba. You can have something which is just a simon and actually can create the reality of the halach. So it could be that a tumtum is actually like a barrier. Could say that it's arguable. It's arguable. It seems to be that in Masechet, so Reb David brings down over here, Ayin besugi de becheres dav mem beis, that is a shaila. Does a tumtum have kedusha of a bechor? If a tumtum is born, does he have kedusha's bechor? And the Gemara, as he seems to say, telamando amas sveka havi. If you hold a tumtum is considered something that we don't know, but there is a reality. Either it's a zohar or it's an akeva. It's just that we don't know. So if that's the way you look at it, the Gemara says, then there's kedusha. Hare havi nerach. Then there is kedusha. He says, if that's the case, he says, so then, since we paskin halacha l'maisa, that a tumtum is a suffix, the Rambam paskins that a tumtum that's makadosh a woman, or a man that's makadosh a tumtum, right? In either way, it's a suffix kedushin. So the Rambam obviously holds that a tumtum is not a new creation, because a new creation kedushin wouldn't work. Because it's ish ki ikach isha. You can only be mekadosh an ish. You can't be mekadosh something else. So it's obvious that the Rambam holds that a tumtum is actually a sofik zocho, sofik nekeva. And taka that's how the Rambam paskins in Ilchos Becharis. That if a tumtum is born, you have to give pidyon. You have to be poydim mi sofik. You can keep the money, al samotzi mechavel of araya, but you have to do an act of pidyon. So if that's the case, so Charedis should be an erichin for Tumtum. So it's really Tullian if you hold, the question is here, if Tumtum even belongs in our Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that Tumtum v'androgenis noidum v'nidorum arichim avaloi nerochim sheni nerich al azocha vada yunakev v'adoyas. L'chayr, it depends on this shaila. If you hold that a Tumtum is a suffix, then there should be erichin. And if you hold that a tumtum is not a suffix, he's a barrier, then there should be no erichin. And here, the Gemara in Bechairus actually says, yes, that if you hold a tumtum as a suffix, sami mikan tumtum. Take tumtum out of the Mishnah. Because a tumtum, there would be erech. The Rambam lists our Mishnah the way we have it, as you've seen in the Rambam. And yet, he passes that a tumtum is a suffix. So l'chari, he should hold that a tumtum is nerach. You should be able to be marach a tumtum, and you would obviously have to pay the higher erech. But it's shver on the Rambam. So that's the kashya that Dovid Soloveitchik is bringing down. He's really brought down b'shem de Briskei Rav. And really, the Lecha Mishnah already asked this question. The Lecha Mishnah in Hilchos Ishus asked this question. He says, I don't understand how tumtum fits this Mishnah, if a tumtum is really a sofik zocher, sofik nekeve. He really is either a zvadai zocher or a nekeve. We just don't know it. It's like the person's in a room. If you have a zocher locked up in a room, if you have a human being locked up in a room, and I say, I have to give that erech, I'm potter now because he's locked up in a room. A tumtum is locked up in his body. He's locked up, but it's either a zocher or a nekeve. That's the kasha. So we'll get back to this to try to come with a clarity. And this shaila. Now again, Eved also, we said, needs clarity. Why Tosfos has such a shaila that you should have given erech of an isha for an Eved. But the Mishnah says, chera shayte v'kotn, nidorim v'nerochim, avaloi noidrim, v'loi marichim, neshem b'em das. They can't do erechim because they have no das, so they can't be marach anybody else, because they can't obligate themselves in anything, because they're not b'nei deya to be mechayev themselves in anything. Okay, now another point that has to be raised in this Mishnah is that when the Mishnah says that an Eved, you could be marach an Eved, so it's unclear what are we talking about. How do we evaluate it? Forget Eved. Every demei lie when you say I'm going to give that person's value, it's an Eved's value. So Rashi goes to say that when you say I'm going to give another person's value, noidrim, demei pliny a lie. Say I'm going to give that pliny. So if you look on the side, the gear says demei pliny a lie. V'shomen oisay ke Eved animka b'shuk. We evaluate. How do you give an evaluation? Erech, we know what you do. You look in the pasuk, and there's an erech. But when you say I'm going to give a person's value, how do we determine that value? What's the person worth? So here, the girsa that we have in Rashi here is an Eved Animkar B'Shuk. And actually, Rashi in Bava Kama, those of you that have learned Achayvel may have a recollection of this Rashi, very difficult Rashi. Rashi in Achayvel says we're talking about an Eved Ivri, not an Eved Kenani. Rashi says, Shemoyo Nitzrach, Oyomoycher Atzmoy Kevet Ivri. The Briskei Rav, by us, takes on the assumption that according to Rashi, also this is an Eved Ivri. When we're talking about an Eved, we're talking about an Eved Ivri. And it makes sense because you didn't make an evaluation of an Eved Kenani, you made an evaluation of a Yid. You said, I'm going to give that Yid's value. So it makes sense. We should evaluate him like an Eved Ivri. And that's what Rashi says in Bava Kama as well, that we're talking about an Eved Ivri. The problem with this Rashi is there are many problems with this Rashi if we learn that way. First of all, an Eved Ivri has no value. An Eved Ivri could at maximum be sold for 6 years. Rashi himself, in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Gimel, says that there is no value to an Eved Ivri. You cannot assess an Eved Ivri's value. And Rashi says, that's for Shein Eved Ivri nimkar lo l'sheish. Rashi says, since an Eved Ivri can only be sold for 6 years, you could never evaluate an Eved Ivri. Because obviously you're getting a false evaluation. You're getting a 6 year evaluation. So evaluate him for working for you for 2 years. Why pick Eved Ivri? Pick a Sochir. Pick a poil, pick a nilsa. I mean, in other words, what makes us say, oh, the 6 year, that's the value. 6 year happens to be aloch and hilchos Eved Ivri. If you sell a person stam, he goes out after 6 years. How does that determine an evaluation? The Torah doesn't say anywhere that a Jew's evaluation is based on what the halachas of Eved Ivri are. Maybe evaluate him like a doctor. Maybe evaluate him like a Veis Vasa. Today a doctor's not worth all that much, but I'm saying it depends on the Hashom personally. I mean, based on the insurance. Lamaisa, so how do you evaluate somebody? So Lamaisa, the Rosh Taket, in Meseches Povakame, the Rosh strongly objects to Rashi's approach. But the Brisker Rav assumes that whatever Rashi says in Bava Kamma holds true over here in Erechin as well. So when we evaluate like an Eved Ivri. So I think that there are two issues. One issue is the question we have on Rashi. How could that be an evaluation? Eved Ivri is not a real evaluation. And that actually Reb Dovid himself is aiming on this problem. But he concludes like his father that when we talk about Eved Ivri, we're talking about an Eved Ivri. I think there's a bigger problem. The bigger problem is that Rashi, in Parshas Baha, the Torah says that when you sell an Eved Ivri, you can't sell a Mimkeres Eved. You can't sell an Eved Ivri the way you would sell a servant. So the Torah doesn't say explicitly what that means. But clearly there's something about the way we sell an Eved Ivri that you can't sell him the way you sell a regular Eved. Rashi brings down the famous Teres Kehanim that what does it mean you can't sell an Eved Ivri Mimkeres Eved? You can't sell him like an Eved Animka Bishuk. There is no slave market for an Eved Ivri. By definition, you cannot, Memkar means you can't take an Eved Ivri and put him in the market. You can't sell him that way. Has to be into the tish, you know, like foreclosures. It can't be claw. Can't be opened. It's not the way it works. In Mimela, so the Eved Ivri is an into the tish mechira. You have to go to somebody and say, okay, it's an Eved Ivri, I want some. Bezin can't sell, take an Eved Ivri, put him on the market. So how could Rashi over here, or Rashi in Bava Kamma, or say anywhere, that we make an evaluation like an Eved Animka Bishuk, that if he would have went ahead and taken him to the slave stand, what would we get from him? There is no slave stand for an Eved Ivri. So it's self-contradictory to say that we look at him like an Eved Ivri Animka Bishuk. There is no such reality. It doesn't even exist. As an Eved Ivri. But there is no such slave market. There's no theoretical on something which doesn't exist. Theoretically, I'll ask you a different question. Theoretically, why don't we sell him like an Eved Kanani? You know what the problem is? You can't sell him like an Eved Kanani. So there is no theoretical. There's no theoretical Ivri Eved Kanani market because an Eved Ivri can't sell himself as an Eved Kanani. Neither can an Eved Ivri sell himself in the market Bechlau. So there is no market value for an Eved Ivri. Hanimka Bashuk. So I think that's why I always felt that Rashi has to agree. And the Ketzayis also in Chayshim Mishpat and Simen Tov Chof, he also questions this whole concept of an Eved Ivri Animka Bishuk. He also has a lot of kashas on Rashi. And I think, just as a general rule, this is something we could go into more, but just as a general rule, I think the most kolatzta way to learn is that we always evaluate somebody like an Eved Kanani. Always like an Eved Kanani. And the holding of Eved Hukish Lakarka, like Tosfos points out in Kiddushin, is only Eved Kanani. Eved Ivri is no Eved Hukish Lakarka by an Eved Ivri. It's only by Eved Kanani. And the whole idea that but when you evaluate a person, Meseches Erechin, you need 10 people because we make a Hekish Lakarka, wouldn't make sense if it's an Eved Ivri. That's Tosfos Kasha. Because an Eved Ivri is not Hukish Lakarka. So I think that the explanation is like this. Rashi in Bava Kamma, Bechlal is not difficult. Rashi in Bava Kamma, I think, is telling us a simple idea. If you look at the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, the Mishnah says, if somebody is chayvul b'chaveira, somebody caused damages, he's chayv b'chamisha dvorim. He's chayv to pay. There's a payment of a policy where the way you pay back tashlum in Zikin. And the way it works is that if you mazik a person's body, you have to pay back chamisha dvorim, nezak tzar ripu shevis and boshes. So Rashi goes and says, "Hachoyvul b'chaveira." Rashi says, "He's chayiv because haharei he zikoy momen." Rashi says, because you inflicted him with damages. Shem hoyo nitzrach. Rashi says, because if he would have needed to sell himself, hoyo moicher atzmoy kevedivri. That's all Rashi says in Bavakam. Not more, not less. Rashi doesn't say that the evaluation is like an evidivri. Rashi explains the words, hachoyvel b'chaveret. And I think that Rashi is trying to explain a basic idea. Rashi is coming to explain, whenever you have a mazik, there are two elements, like I explained. Number one, mazik in his first step is somebody who inflicts damages. Number two, there's a din of tashlumen, how he pays. Sometimes he pays chatzi nezek, sometimes he pays a shuma, there's different ways the way you pay back. Okay? But step one is that you have to be called a mazik. The definition of a mazik means you inflict the damages. So Rashi is bothered, what are the damages? When a person physically is mazik another person, why is it called damages? What are the damages? So Rashi says, Sharei hizikoi momen. There was a mazik. You were mazik, your friend. You know why? Who says that your body is looked upon as a lahavda, like a shor and a chamor? If I went ahead and I weakened your shor, so I was mazik your shor. Why? Because your shor plows. I was mazik your shor. Now your shor became a weak shor, which can't plow, was compromised in plowing. So Rashi is saying, why is it called a hezek when you go to another person and you mazik their body? Why is that called a hezek? So obviously, depending on what they do for a livelihood, which is the whole yisod of the Gemara there, Shemir Kishuyim. So Rashi says, number one, when you inflict another person with a hezek, it's called that you financially cause damage. Rashi says, why is it a financial loss? Sha'arei yizikoi momen. So there Rashi couldn't say like an Eved Kanani, because if he needed money, he can't sell himself for an Eved Kanani. So Rashi had to then say, what are the financial damages? Why is it called a financial loss? So Rashi, because he could sell himself for an Eved. And therefore, this is called, you now were mazik something that he has, that has value. Period. Oh, now we have a question of evaluation. Here Rashi could agree that when we come to evaluate somebody, there's only one slave market, the Eved Kanani slave market. We couldn't use that as the introduction to Nezikin. We couldn't say that's why I have to pay him money because he could have sold himself for an Eved Kanani, because it's not true. He couldn't have sold himself for an Eved Kanani. He could only have sold himself for an Eved. So Rashi, he has to first tell us the introduction. You should know you created damages. Why did you create damages? Because there's an Eved Ivri ability. He may never sell himself as an Eved Ivri, but he has the ability to sell himself as an Eved Ivri. And therefore, his goof is a financial attribute. He has a maila with his goof. And the maila, if you mazik that goof, it's a financial hazard. Now, how will we evaluate? We'll evaluate like an Eved Kanani. And the way we're learning, Rashi's not even arguing with the Rosh. Over there. I would say the same thing applies to Erechim. By Erechin, the evaluation is like an Eved Kanani, Hanimka Beshuk. An Eved Kanani, like this, in this shape, sold in the market. You have the guy, he's whatever he is, he's 35 years old, he's 5'8", he's 180 pounds, he's in good shape, he's this. That doesn't sound such good shape, but okay. That's it. That's how you sell it. That's the Mechira. And the Mela, that's the value. That answers all the kashas. It answers the Shuma kashas. It answers all the kashas. And to me, these words of Nimka Bashuk is the biggest raya that it has to be that way. So that's as far as Eved is concerned. Now we're talking about, again, we're not talking about Erechene, we're talking about Doma, where you say, the may plenty a lie, so you're giving the value, that's the way we would assess the value. Yeah, well, now we're going to get Toises talking about Erechene. Now we'll switch back. We went to Doma, now we're going back to Erechene. Now, Erechin, we had two problems on the Mishnah. Number one, we had a problem on the Mishnah itself, Tumtum, which according to the Gemara in Bukhara seems to be only works if you hold the Tumtum is Taka, not here and not there. But that, we said, doesn't work according to the Rambam, who holds that a Tumtum is actually a Suffolk. He really is either a Zohar and a Keva. And still the Rambam paskens like our Mishnah. We also had a problem to understand how could Tosis suggest that a Tumtum, that an Eved would pay an Erech Isha? How could Tosis even suggest such a thing? Now forgetting that the whole idea that an Eved is like an Isha only relates to Chiyuv HaMitzvahs. Doesn't relate to what he is. L'moshel, Tosis in Bava Kama states that an Eved is Chayiv in Mila because he's a male. You have to give him a bris. An Isha is not potter from Mila because the mitzvah says she has man chomer. She's potter from Mila because she's an Isha. An Isha can't say Edus because it says in the Pasuk, V'omdu shneo anoshe. So a woman can't say Edus. So Tosis points out in Bava Kama, but an Eved would be able to say Edus. He says because he's physically a man. It's not that a woman is potter from Edus. It's that there's a dinah, anoshim v'loy anoshim. So an Eved would have that. So if that's the case, it strengthens the problem that we have here on Tosfos. Why is it, why would there be even a chavamina that the Eved would give an Erech Isha to the point that Tosfos has to say, well, there's no Tana that says that. There is no Tana that says such a thing. I'm not talking about Eved Kanani now. We're talking about Erechin, not Domov. Erechin has an assessed value. See, I'm going to give that person's Erech. You have to give his evaluation, his Erech of the Torah. The Torah says if he's a male from 30 days on, this is the Erech. 20 to 50, this Erech. Right? So that's the Gedolim. So, what I would like to point out here is like this. This further is going to prove the idea that we said that Erechin is not just an assessment, an evaluation that the Torah gave. There's a flat rate evaluation for a Zohar by the age, and there's a flat rate evaluation for the Keva by the age. It's a concept of pidyon. That really will give us a better understanding in what Tosfos is saying here, that over here you would think maybe an Eved would have a different assessment. If you turn to Amud Beis, the Gemara has a shaila. What does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says Hakol Chayovim Bir'iyah? This is by the star, right in the middle of the daf. Hakol Chayovim Bir'iyah La'asu Yemai La'asu Yemi Shechetzi Eved V'chetzi Ben Chorin. It's coming to include a Chatzi Eved V'chetzi Ben Chorin. This is to go up to be El Regal in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, meaning a chatzi yevid v'chatzi ben chayrin has to go. The Gemara says, what do you mean? The Gemara says, ul ravina d'oma mi shechetzi yevid v'chatzi ben chayrin potter min ariya. So it can't include that, he owes his potter. So the Gemara goes, what's coming to add? Now if you go down to two lines before it gets wide, the Gemara answers this question. Really, it's coming back, lasu yechatzi yevid v'chatzi ben chayrin. Udikashiloch, and this that you asked me, that a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, according to some as a din of an eved, udikashiloch to ravina loy kasha, kan kemishna rishoina v'kan kemishna achorina. The Tanan, misha chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, somebody's a half a eved, half a ben chorin, what do you do with him? In other words, two people owned him, one freed him, what do you do with him? He's now owned by one person halfway. So Beisil hold, each one uses him for one day, and now that one freed him, so you use him for one day, the other day he's free. Omulim Beishamai say, I understand that the Adon still has the same mile he had till now. He has an Eved one day, every other day. But the Eved is still lost. The Eved has identity crisis. Because what is he? He's not a Yisrael, he's not a Goy. Lisa Shifcha in a Yoch. Because he's a Bechatzi ben Choyrin. Bas Choyrin in a Yoch. Can't marry a Bas Choyrin. So you butt. He's stuck. Can't do anything. The whole world was functioning of Pilya Varivya. Shenem aloi toyo v'rolo shevet yitzo. Elam neitikun ha'olam. Koyfin esrabi v'oiso yisei ben Choyrin. Says the Mishnah, we make him into a Ben Chayr. We force him to be a Ben Chayr. We force the master to free him. So what the Gemara basically is saying now is that by Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Ben Chayrin, what we do with him is we force the Adon to free him. So in between the time that he actually frees him and he has to free him, he's called Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Ben Chayrin. During that time, he has to go be Oyla Regal. Because since there's a Chiyuv to free him, it seems what the Gemara is saying is, since there's a chiyuv to free him, we look at it like he's freed. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying. Since there's an obligation to free him, we look at him like he's already freed. So, Pella de Gazach seems to come out from the Gemara that halacha lemaisa, there is no such a thing as chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chayrin. Bizman hazeh, there is no such thing as a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chayrin. Because every chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chayrin, today there's a chiyuv to free him, according to Beis Hillel. Maskon is you have to free him, and therefore he's not an eved. That's the kasha. So all the mishnayos and shas that say there's a concept called chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chayrin, it's not true. So the Shagas Aryeh in Maseches Chagiga actually says that. He says it would seem that there is no such a thing as Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Ben Chayrin. I mean, that's unbelievable. There are Simonim and Shulchan Aruch that talk about Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Ben Chayrin. According to the Shagas Aryeh, it's not like that. According to what the Gemara is saying, there is no such a thing as a Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Ben Chayrin. So I want to tell you that if we don't look like the Shagas Aryeh, which is definitely the conventional way of thinking, is that it's not a Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Ben Chayrin does exist, the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. So what do we do with the Shagas Aryeh's question? So I think that the answer is simple. Every Eved Kanani, right, what he really went through is a partial conversion. Somebody would ask you, what's an Eved Kanani? An Eved Kanani is, he went through a partial conversion. So normally, there's no such thing in Allah. If a guy comes to do a partial conversion, he's still a goy. A guy comes, he says, I'm a kabbal on myself, 500 mitzvahs. He's still a goy. He has to makabal all mitzvahs, the oil of all mitzvahs. The Torah was machadish, that there's a partial conversion, not to become a yid, to become an eved. That's a partial conversion. And this is not my assessment. This is how the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia categorizes an eved, Kanani. He says, Yotza Michlal Akum, he went out from being a Gentile, he's not a goy, but a Yisrael he's not. He's not a Jew. He's something in the middle. He's a semi-converted person. So, until the Adon, till the master gives him a shtar shechru to free him, he's missing in his geiros. He's not a full Jew. He's a chatzi Yisrael. It's not just that he's busy working. He doesn't have to do all mitzvahs. No. He's missing in his shem Yisrael. So I want to tell you a very simple idea. It doesn't matter that now there's a chiyuv for the Adon to free him. That doesn't make a difference. Even if you'll tell me the Adon can't use him anymore. He's also to be used. So what? He's still, halachically, he's still not a Jew. Till he gets a shtar shechru, till he gets a shtar, a document that makes him free. He's still not a full, complete yid. So really, what the Gemara here, when the Gemara says that the Eved, Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin, has to be able to regal, is really difficult. I understand the master has to free him, but until he formally does it, he's not a Yisrael. The answer is, I want to tell you very simple. Really, an Eved would have to be able to regal also. Just like every kind of Klal Yisrael. The reason why he doesn't have to be able to regal is because it says, El Pnei Ha'odoin Hashem. The Pasuk says that you have to go up to the Adon, to Hashem, the Master. So the Gemara says in Chagiga that Yotza Zeh Sheyesh Loi Adon Acher. He has somebody else who's a boss over him. He has his Master. So the reason why the Eved doesn't go to Be'el Regel is not because he's lacking in the Kedushas Yisrael. That's not the reason. Really, an Eved would be Chayiv to Be'el Regel. There's a practical element. He has another person, another master. So I want to tell you very simple. But now that there's a din that the master can't use him anymore, so he doesn't have another master. So what's he left with? He has a kedusha of an evet without a master. He can go to Be'el Regel. It's only by El Regel. Because by all other mitzvahs, he's lacking in his kedushas Yisrael. He's lacking in who he is. So now I want to tell you, does everybody understand that this part? If anybody has a kasha, please feel free to ask. We're basically coming out that every Eved, it's not us, it's the Rambam, that every Eved doesn't have full Kedushas Yisrael. He has Kedushas Eved, which is a compromised Kedusha. And by Oyla Regal, the only reason why a Chatzi Eved or Chatzi Bechorin has to go is because every Eved really would have to go. Just that he has another Adam. He doesn't have another Adam. He has a half Adam. No! The half Adam has a chiyuv to free him, so the half Adam can't work with him. So he's not his boss anymore. The half Adam has no shlita over him. That's why, according to the Mishnah Achronim, he goes, now let's go to Erechin. So, if Erechin would be a plain, simple evaluation, there's no shaila, of course. If you go ahead and you say, I want to give the Erech of that Evet, of course you give a male Erech, if it's a male. And if it's a female, of course you give an Erech of the female. There's a shaila. There's no mukum for a shaila. However, since the way we explained Erechin is you're really triggering a Chiyuv Pidyon. A Chiyuv Pidyon relates to the Kedushin that exists. Right? You're imposing a Kedushin. Just like you have a Pidyon Aben, it's Kedushin. So here there would be a Havamina. There would be a Havamina that you can't create a Kedusha that relates to a Zohar with somebody who doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael Rabbi being a Zohar. If it would just be an evaluation, Tosis makes no sense. That there'd be a Havamina to give an Erech of an Isha. But since we're not dealing with a regular evaluation, we're dealing with you're imposing some type of Kedusha which requires a redemption. So I would think that just like the Eved has a compromised Kedusha, and he doesn't have enough Kedusha to be Mechayiv in mitzvahs like a man, so maybe the replacement that you have to replace that Kedusha with, when you make a Chiyuv Erechin, maybe it's only like a Nekeva. Who says that you can impose a higher level Kedusha than that? That is what I think is the Havamin of Tosfos. Now why does Tosfos say, Lo lishtamit shum tana? What does he mean by that? He means that if you look later on Daf Hey, Amud Beis, over there the Gemara brings that a goy, what do you do with a goy? Look at the Mishnah, Oivet Kechovim. Reb Meir Oimer Nerach. Reb Meir says that a goy, you could be Marach a goy. That means you could go over to Christopher and you could say, Erech Christopher alive. And now you have to give Christopher's value, not value, Christopher's erech to Hekdesh. Okay? If you say, Demei Christopher Eli, of course you got to give his value. You said, Erech Christopher Eli, you have to give his erech. Rev Yehuda comes and says, no. Marech avaloi merech. You can only be marech him. He could be marech, but you can't make him the subject of erech. What's pshat in Rev Yehuda? So I want to say that the Pshat and Rav Yehuda, first of all, it's all Psukim. But after we have the Psukim, according to Rav Yehuda, the reason why a goy doesn't have an Erech, you can't be Marech him, is because you can't impose a redemption on a goy who doesn't have Kedusha. He doesn't have the capacity to be a subject of redemption. That's the Pshat. So Tosfos by us is only clearing according to Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Meir, of course, you give the Erech of a male. Because the Eved is no worse than a goy. If you went over to a goy, and you said, Erech Christopher Eli, according to a male, you give an Erech Zohar. So of course, by an Eved, it's no worse. Right? However, Tosfos is analyzing, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a goy cannot be a subject of Erech. An Eved can. So an Eved can only be a subject of Erech because of his Kedusha that he has. But his Kedusha is compromised. He only has Kedusha Kisha to be chayiv in mitzvahs like an ish. So maybe his erechin can't be better. On that, that's it's very meduyik why Tosfos says loy lishtamet shum tana. He means, according to a man, I don't even have a shaila. But even the other tana should say something, should comment. And I haven't seen that any tana. The reason why Tosfos used that lush is because according to Reb Meir, he never even had a shaila. Of course, according to Reb Meir, you give the erech of a zohar. But Reb Yehuda, who holds that a goy cannot have an erech. So there, according to him, there is a correlation between the erech and the kedusha. So I would say maybe an eved who has a compromised kedusha can only have kedusha like a yeshiva. The Tosfos name. It's not that long. But that, I think, is the shakel of Atariya here in the Tosfos. Well, the maskana doesn't make a difference because maskana is you do zachar anyway. You're asking me according to the havamin of Tosfos. The havamin of Tosfos according to the Mishnah Achrona. That's great. That's a great child. Lamaisa, I would say that avadi you would give the erech of an eved, of an isha, according to this, because he still has a compromised kedusha. It's not a lamaisa to kashayla, but it's a great child anyway. Yeah, but I'm saying the other doesn't make a difference. The way we explained it, he has a compromised kedusha till he gets a shtar shichur. But to be oil regel, even an eved would be chayiv to be oil regel, just that he has an odin. Okay, now we'll just answer tumtum and we'll stop here. Even though I wanted to go into the gemara, we'll stop here. As far as tumtum is concerned, so we had a question: how do we coincide and rectify that our mishnah can work with holding that tumtum is really a suffix? So we said that the way the Gemara in Bechora seems to learn, that's not a possibility. According to the Gemara in Bechora, it seems to be that if you hold a tumtum as a suffolk, so you should be chayiv and erechin. It's the way it should be. So as I said, the David Taka asked this question, the question which is already asked by the Gedolei Achronim, and he leaves it by a tzorichin. He doesn't answer this question. So, I think that the approach that can be given to explain this is that the maskana of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says she'ni nerach elo zohar vaday in a cave of adoyas, there are two ways to understand what the Mishnah is telling us. One way to learn the Mishnah is based on the way we explained everything till now. Erechin is some kind of chalois that's chal, okay, and it can only be chal on a vadai zohar or a vadai nekev. Can't be chal on this new middle thing, which is called a tumtum. To which the Lechem Mishnah rightfully so says that if you hold a tumtum is really either a zohar or a nekev, it shouldn't be a problem. Klapi Shemai, there's no suffix. You don't know, so you don't know. That's your problem. Somebody is blind and they don't know, they also have to give erech. That's not a reason to say that you should be part of erech. There's another way to learn the Mishnah, that the chsaron with a tumtum and androgynous is twofold. There's a problem mitzad that you don't have, the person is not izachar and anakev. In which case, if a tumtum is a suffix, there should be an erechin. But then there's another way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that it's not that we're missing in the subject only, we're missing in the marach. We're missing on the person that's being marach. Because the person that's being marach is creating a chiv on themselves. There's two parties here, like Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is the son. It's a chiv on the av. It's a mitzvah HaBen ala av. So he's creating an obligation on himself. Like the Chazon Ish says, I become like a nozer. I, the marach, become like a nozer. I have a halacha now. I have something. I have a lien on myself to do this pidyon. I must do this pidyon. Something is chal on me. So you could say that I can only create upon myself an obligation that I can verify. If it's not verifiable to me, so as the subject, there could be an erech, but as me, there can't be. And I'll tell you that there's a black and white sugya like that. The Gemara says in Maseches Nozir that if somebody goes ahead and is marech, and let's go not case of erech, let's go to case of nazirus. He says hareini nazir, right? That this guy who's walking is Reuven. If this is Reuven, when he comes, I'm a nazir. So now you have to wait for him to come to identify him that he's Reuven. Now the guy goes ahead and he turns around and he leaves. And he falls back into society. Mixes back into society. I have no way of ever knowing who that guy was. I didn't see him. He was just a human being. And now he mixed back into the society. I have no idea who he is. Zok the Rambam, no Naziris, based on the Gemara, no Naziris. Why? Because it's not our flaw. It's not something which is can be clarified. Now, that does not mean that there's no such thing as Suffolk Naziris. There is. If somebody would come to Bezin and say, you know, I have a Suffolk yesterday, whether I made myself a Nazir or not, Bezin would say, you have to be a Nazir. Because yesterday you imposed, possibly, a definitive thing upon yourself. But just like you can't create a Erech, which is a Suffolk, on the subject, you can't be the subject of a Suffolk. By Bechor, there's only one thing happening. Shemayim is creating a Kedusha on a Bechor. You, by default, then have to pay because of the Kedusha that was imposed upon by Shemayim. So there, the Gemara says in Bechoris that if you hold a Tumtum is a Suffolk, then it must be that this Kedusha is Bechor. Because Shemayim doesn't have a Suffolk. Shemayim has this guy. Either it's a guy or it's a girl. Shemayim now imposed the Kedusha. Now you have to deal with the Kedusha. You don't do anything. You're not creating anything. You're just an outcome of that. That's why the Rambam held that since an Erech and the Gemara didn't make any such distinctions, we passed them like the Sugyan Erechim. And therefore he held that by an androgynous, there is no halacha of tumtum in either direction. Even if you hold the tumtum as a sveikihu, you can't impose upon yourself something which is never will be verified. You can't be a subject of that. And here you would be a subject of that. Thomas doesn't apply. Mashen came. When somebody is makadosh an isha, okay, they're the only issue at hand is the subject. That's the only issue. You're not creating any kedusha on yourself. You're making a chalos kedusha. So there we just have to know, is this a zachar or is it in a keva? The Torah says it may be either a zachar or a keva. So you may have done a kedusha. Nothing is being chal on you in relationship to what happened now. I mean, by default, if you're a husband, you chayiv in mezoinis and you chayiv in, you'll be chiyuvim like pidyon haben. That will be an outcome of what you created. So that, I think, is the pshat in the Rambam, why the Rambam holds that by tumtum, there is no erechim, because you can't create upon yourself, just like you can't create a subject of Sovik, you can't create upon yourself a kedusha, a shibud, which is a shibud misavik. Because as the Chazanish puts it, he says, you're a nazir over here. You're making chiyuvim upon yourself to be poided. It's not a monetary thing. You're becoming like a nazir, the Chazanish says. And therefore, that can't be done by our flow, which is a suffix. Okay, in Mitzvah Shem next week, we'll be going through the sugya until Amud Beis, and just use the same Ma'am HaKremis we had this week, go through the Rambams. I would also recommend, if possible, the Minchas Chinuch on Mufamach Le'ish, which is Shin Nun, Oy Space. So again, all the Rambams and the Minchas Chinuch, Mitzvah Shin Nun, Oy Space.